So, I work for State Farm's bank, and as a bank, we offer credit card products. And I feel like when I work for a company, I should have an understanding of the products, especially when I work for the bank, I should have an understanding of the products the bank offers. So, I have a State Farm credit card. And one day, I was deciding to use it at a vending machine right on the floor that I work on. That's also the floor that State Farm Bank's credit card department is on. So it's within State Farm, in the building, on the same floor as the credit card department. And I swipe my card and it comes up denied. I don't max out my credit card, and I know like something's wrong here. And so I got a few minutes. So I just call right there. I'm standing in front of the vending machine and I call State Farm Bank's credit card department and I say, What's going on? And they say, well, there's fraud on your card. I was like, oh. Like, where's the fraud at? It's at a vending machine. It just occurred. I said, do you have a general location that? Yeah, it's in Bloomington, Illinois. I said, yeah, I'm standing at the vending machine now. So you're the fraudster? No, I'm not the fraudster. I'm the customer. You verified me. It's me. And I said, this is a, can you remove the fraud? It's not fraud. And they're like, no, we can't do that. It's fraud. I said, I'm standing at the vending machine right outside of the credit card department of State Farm Bank. And they're like, can you remove the fraud? Nope, we can't remove the fraud. And that's when I drew upon a tool that I think I got from Kurt. And he just threw out the word unacceptable. I mean, what better scenario to say this is absolutely unacceptable, right? So I couldn't resolve the situation right then. I had to go to another meeting. I had to call later. But how, like Ray Ferris would say, that doesn't even make good nonsense, right? Like, what better scenario to say that this is something that's just unacceptable? This does not make sense. But to the person on the call, for whatever reason, it was acceptable to them, right? And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, unacceptable. And we'll get into the details of it here, but I want us to think about God's people and a people in which God had shown his power to, a people that God had taken under his wing and made them a nation. He has given these people a law and rituals that united them together. He had given them leaders, warriors, and prophets. He had blessed these people and cursed them. As a righteous father should and does, he rebuked them and chastised them when they had done wrong. And when they returned, he graciously forgave them. But after all of this, in the scenario we're going to talk about, in the situation we're going to talk about, his people are indifferent to God's commands. Their worship has decayed beyond acceptance. Their worship is of no value to God. And their teachers and leaders have allowed this to occur. And I think we'll see that God calls this unacceptable. And so in the adult class, we've been studying Daniel. We're about to go into Ezra and then Nehemiah. And so we're studying the captivity, and then we'll study the return from captivity. And so I thought it would be fitting to look ahead. And I didn't look far enough ahead to see if this is even on the schedule, but what I want to look at tonight is the book of Malachi. And we are going to be wholly in the book of Malachi, and we're going to study the book of Malachi this evening. And so if you want to turn there, that would be good to do. But as we're reading, what I would like you to do is look for things, some sayings. But you say, or yet you say, or just you say. So as we're going through the whole book, keep those things in mind, and I will try to call them out too. But before we dive in, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we come before you. We are honored to be your people. We're honored that we can come to you in prayer, that you hear our prayers. We desire to look into your scriptures now, specifically Malachi, We ask that you'll bless our time together, that we will study your word with truth and a desire to know you better, to know you closer, and a willingness to change as appropriate if needed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I would like to do is, if you would, and I struggle with this, but I think there's so much value in doing this, is I would like, if you would, trust me, I'm going to read from Malachi. I'm reading from the New American, but I'd like you to just listen. And then we're going to go through chapter 1, and you can look at your Bible then and go through then. But if you would, just listen to the text, and then we'll go through the text. It's Malachi chapter 1. The oracle of the Lord of God to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau, and I have made his mountains a desolation, and appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. Though Edom says, we have been beaten down, but we will return and build up the ruins. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will tear down, and the men will call them the wicked territory, and the people of whom the Lord is indignant forever. Your eyes will see, and you will say, the Lord be magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts. To you, O priest, who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar, but you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us with such an offering on your part? Will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there is one among you who would shut the gates, that might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun even to the setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is to be despised. You also say, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, and the Lord of hosts, and you bring what is taken by robbery and what is lame and sick, so that you bring an offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who is a male of his flock and vows but sacrifice a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. So in the first few verses here, God affirms his love for his people. They fictitiously question him and say, how have you loved us? And he contrasts that with Israel, with Jacob and Esau, but he is Israel and Edom. He says, look at Edom and the desolation they are compared to you and how much care I've given to you. In verse 6, he brings out there's a fundamental understanding that fathers and masters deserve honor, and the Lord is both our father and our master. And he asks them, where is his honor? Where is God's respect? And they say, how have we despised your name? Then it continues on that they have been presenting defiled food. And they question, how have we defiled you? And Malachi goes on to say that they've been presenting blind sacrifices, the lame and the sick. And he brings out, would you give these to your governor? The person that's in front of you, would you give them to them? Those in authority, would they accept them? And I think it's clear the answer would be no, that we would not do that, and they would not. Any in 9 and 10, he talks about that it is so bad that he calls, if only one, if just one person would be jealous enough of God and His covenant that they would shut the doors, it is so bad that they should have stopped sacrificing, shut the doors of the temple, and locked it. That's how bad it was. They should have stopped sacrifices altogether because it added no value. All of their efforts were in vain, useless, meaningless to God. God calls their sacrifices unacceptable. They're not worth anything to Him. But they still question. They question, how have you loved us? How have we despised your name? How have we defiled you? They're missing it. Just like the person on the call. To God, this is clear. You have missed the mark. This is absolutely unacceptable. And if you cannot see that, that's how far gone you are. In verse 11, they are viewing the work that God has asked them to do is tiresome. And they even say, my, how tiresome it is. Many times, when we think things like that, there's opportunity for us to do some root cause problem solving. Why am I weary by doing what God has asked me to do? The cause is not from God. And Malachi points them to, you have missed the mark, and God has asked you to do these things, and He's calling your work unacceptable. And at the end of chapter 1, God says, should I be taking what you're offering to me? And He says, I am a great king. Offer me something that is worthy. A great king would not accept what you're offering. Let's read chapter 2. But as we're reading chapter 2, chapter 2 starts off with the commandment is for you, O priest. So I want us to think about this with two dimensions. I want us to think about it in the context of the priest that he's talking about. But I also want us to think about it with the lens of us as being priests. And so when we're reading this, think about how this might apply to us. So again, if you would like to listen, I think that would be valuable. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart, to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, and the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave to him as an object of reverence, so that he may be revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble. By the instructions, you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased, before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. Do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously each against his brother, so to profane the covenant of our fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob everyone who awakes and answers, or who presents an offering to the Lord of hosts. This is not another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But not one has done so who is a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with the wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, how have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? So in Malachi, at the beginning of Malachi, he calls out that if the people do not yield to him, that they will be cursed. They will know that God is the one that sent the covenant. He will remind them of the covenant with Levi, and through true instructions that they may be able to turn back from the iniquities, and that God's ways work and have worked in the past. But in verse 7, he calls out, for the lips of the priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instructions from their mouths. And they have failed in this. So we know in 1 Peter 2 that we are called the royal priesthood. And so do we present something that's acceptable to God? Or are the words and the knowledge, do people seek instruction from us? Is that acceptable to God? Because here, these priests had done just the opposite. They had caused people to stumble with their words. They had shown partiality in their instructions. And God says to them that that is unacceptable. Here, starting in verse 10, it talks about an issue that's addressed in both Ezra and Nehemiah. And so this was a problem that Israel was struggling with. And here is Malachi addressing it, probably similar timeline as Nehemiah. But they had been marrying foreign wives again. And he says that he will cut them off. That the people of Israel, after returning from a captivity, had struggled with this. And so Malachi is yet addressing it again. For the Lord has seen how they've been dealing with their wives. And they asked the question, Malachi asked the question for them, for what reason? Why, God, are you not accepting our sacrifices? Why are you not listening to us? And he's saying, you've missed it. What you're giving to me, what you are doing, is unacceptable to me. He calls out that he hates divorce. And their words have wearied him. And they question, how have we wearied you? They have so polluted marriage and their sacrifices and their offerings that they're adding no value to God. And he's calling their marriages and their offerings, he's calling them unacceptable. God, so Malachi shifts a little bit here in chapter 3. Let us read chapter 3. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and a purifier of the silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present the Lord offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against those who swear falsely and against those who oppress the wage earners in his wages, the widow and the orphan and those who turn aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithings and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you, bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in the house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If you will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor the vine in the fields that cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge, that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed, not only because we are doers of wickedness, but built up, but they are also test God and escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteemed his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I prepare my own possession, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. At this point, the tone changes a bit. And Malachi brings up that God is going to be sending messengers, two messengers, one that goes ahead of the other. And so we know the one to be John, the baptizer, and Jesus to being the second. But if you think, what Malachi is calling out here is the mercy that God is showing by sending John first to prepare the way. This is later in Israel's history. And Jesus coming, Malachi talks about this messenger is coming as bringing judgment. But John is coming to prepare the way for that, to wake people up, to clear the way. So how merciful is our God by doing this for the people that look like this? But he says that there's a refiner coming, a refiner's fire. And when you refine something, for whatever is being refined, it is not comfortable. Extreme heat is used, and a cleansing occurs. The evil, the impurities rise to the top, and they're cleansed from it. And those impurities are readily seen, to the refiner, and it will be a witness to how much of a mess his people were. And he calls out that the Lord does not change in verses 6 and 7, and that he keeps his covenant. And then you see this, them saying, how shall we return? And if you keep with this theme of the questions that they're asking, that Malachi says that they're asking, they know how to return. They are choosing not to return. And he talks about how they have robbed him of their offerings, with their offerings and their tithings. And they ask, how have we robbed you? The whole nation, he calls out, is robbing him. And God says that this is, again, unacceptable. God says that if you offer acceptable tithings and offerings, starting in verse 10, that he will open up windows of heaven and rebuke Satan, the devourer, for you. But then the people say, yeah, but it's vain to worship God. In 13 and 14, he says, what profit is it in worshiping God? We've kept his charge and mourned before the Lord, and has added nothing to us. And then they ask questions like, well, how have we spoken against you? There are those that have fear the Lord. There are those at the end of chapter 3 that he calls the remnant. And a book of remembrance is put together. But a line is drawn in Malachi 3:18. Those that fear God and those that do not. Those that the refiner calls out, that removes the purities from their lives and fears the Lord. Let's read chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall, and you will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I command him in Horeb for all of Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Here Malachi calls out, a day is coming, burning like a furnace, and leaving neither root nor branch. It is going deep. It's not taking out what you can see above ground. It is taking out the roots. It's very thorough. Those who fear the Lord will come out, but he will tread down the wicked. He asks us to remember the law. Malachi gives them hope. Here are God's people. So if you think about Israel's history and where they've gone, and just in their recent history, God executed judgment on Israel and punishment on Judah in the captivity. But he allows Judah to return. And the problems they have, these are people that God has punished. And they've come back and they are struggling with God's law. These are the God's people. He set them apart. He called them his own. He gave them a law and united them as a nation. He provided these people with leaders and prophets and warriors and kings. But here we see they rejected him. He rebuked them, and they rejected him again. They went into captivity. They returned and they still struggled. And they asked questions like, how have you loved us? How have we despised your name? How have we defiled you? My, how tiresome it is to follow your laws. For what reason is what we're offering you unacceptable? How they had wearied God. How they had robbed God of what was rightfully His. And questioning how they should even return to God. They questioned His love. They despised His name. They defiled Him. They grew weary of His commandments. They lacked understanding of how unacceptable their offerings were. They wearied God with their talk, and they robbed God. What they were doing was unacceptable to God. Yet, we serve a great King. After all of that unacceptable, our King, their King, wants them to return to Him. God wants them. And God wants us. He wants us to be His. If we are in a place like they were, where we are struggling to see, where we are asking questions that are not acceptable, when we push them against the Word or someone else is bringing those to our attention, and we are aware of that, He's calling us to Him. He wants us so much that He was willing to send a messenger for us. God is willing to hold up His end of the covenant and bring us home, even if we've done some unacceptable things to Him. Will we hold up our end of the covenant with Him?